Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, Halloween has come to the resort, we have the details, and we discuss our individual history with Disneyland. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
Your attention, please. The Disneyland Limited, now arriving. Passengers will stand by to board.
Hello and thank you for tuning into this episode of Disneyland Weekly, episode 1 for the week of September 27th, 2017. I'm Teg Bushman. This first episode is going to be a little different from what will be our normal format. First off, who is this we that I keep referencing? Well, Disneyland Weekly now has a co-host. Let's welcome Teresa Urban to the show. Hello, Teresa.
Hi, Teg. I'm happy to be here. Very excited to be talking about Disneyland because who doesn't love Disneyland? And also, I'm a big Nightmare Before Christmas fan, so I'm also excited to be starting during Halloween time, so we get to talk about both.
That is amazing. Well, we could talk more about our history with each other and Disneyland later, but first, we have some news to get to.
Starting late last month, Disneyland has gone into full Halloween mode. All the typical decorations that are common for this time of year are up, and the only change in Disneyland is the gingerbread house inside the Haunted Mansion. This should be no surprise since this does change every year. This year, Oogie Boogie returns. He is prominently featured in many places of the park, including the new gingerbread house. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but it actually is very interesting. It's a very large Oogie Boogie with a... We're not sure if it's supposed to be the Haunted Mansion itself or if it is the Nightmare Before Christmas's City Hall, but it does appear that there are bugs kind of popping out of it just like Oogie Boogie himself.
It is pretty cool. I always look forward every year to what the gingerbread house is going to look like because it's always something different. Well, there's some new specialty desserts this year as well at the French Market. The first is the Snake and Spider Chocolate Goo, which is sort of like a dirt cup. The other is a pumpkin cheesecake. Both are priced at $5.99, which actually isn't too bad as far as Disney prices go, considering when you go to a restaurant, you're probably spending $7 or $8 for a dessert. I've never had a pumpkin cheesecake, but I love pumpkin pie and I love cheesecake, so I would probably enjoy this as well.
Well, I would totally buy the chocolate goo just because it's called chocolate goo. So there's that.
Well, there you go.
Over at the Tomorrowland Terrace, construction walls have gone up around most of the patio, but the dining location is still open for service. It also doesn't appear that the stage is having any work done.
You know, which is kind of a shame because I think some people... You know, they know that, you know, back in the 80s, the Tomorrowland Terrace was a place that had a lot of musical acts and whatnot there. And I know lately it's just been kind of the Star Wars.
The Jedi training?
Yes, Jedi training. Thank you very much. In Fantasyland, Halloween has come to the land in the form of a special food offering and travel mug, but no decorations. The Red Rose Tavern is offering an Enchanted Maze flatbread for $9.49 that comes with mozzarella, roasted corn, pickled red onions, parmesan, a spicy lime aioli, and chopped cilantro. The travel mug has the Fab Five on it, decked out in their holiday gear, and comes with your choice of beverage at the time of purchase for $6.99. I am a little disappointed that this does not include free refills later on in the day, but I guess it is only $6.99.
Toontown also has had a difficult time in getting into the Halloween spirit. This year, the land received orange and purple bunting, but not much else. Thankfully, though, they are doing something for Toontown since it normally doesn't have any Halloween decor.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm not sure if Toontown's going to get any more decor, actually, after this, because everything's moving over to California Adventure. So, you know, with Star Wars Land being right there... Sorry, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge being right there. I'm not sure that it's going to get any type of update, unfortunately. Speaking of California Adventure, Cars Land certainly has not been forgotten this year for Halloween. The decorations throughout the land look amazing. Some of the decorations include wrench webs, which are spider webs made out of wrenches, decorations made from parts of cars, grills shaped like tombstones, and more. It's pretty cool.
I'm really impressed with the creativity that has gone into the decorations for Cars Land. I don't know if any of you have seen photos of it, but I'd highly recommend looking it up. It's quite impressive. They've got pumpkins made out of tires. They've got just all sorts of very interesting, cool twists on the typical Halloween decoration.
I totally agree. I think they've done a great job. I know that some of the concept art that was released before, people were concerned that, you know, how cool is it going to look? Is it going to kind of ruin the whole atmosphere? Because Cars Land is one of the best themed areas in probably the whole resort. And people didn't want to have that ruined for them.
Sure. Two attractions have been slightly made over for the holiday. The first is Mater's Junkyard Jamboree. This main change is with the music being changed from square dancing to parodies of popular Halloween songs. Luigi's Rockin' Roadsters is putting on a honkin' Halloween, which also main changes the music for the attraction.
Yeah, there's not much going on with these couple of attractions, but you know they did so much in just 1 year with the decorations of this area. I think I can give them a little bit of slack for that one. Well, Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout has received its holiday makeover for the first time this year in the form of Guardians of the Galaxy Monsters After Dark. The attraction closes each evening to change over from Mission Breakout to Monsters After Dark. The queue, costumes, and entire ride experience is transformed. Early reviews have been great, and if you haven't seen it yet, I would highly recommend that you search YouTube for a video if you're interested. It's really amazing what they can switch over between Mission Breakout and Monsters After Dark. The queue is different, the costumes are different, the whole ride thing is different. I did not look up, I'm sure somebody can let us know, how long it's closed in between switching over, but that's kind of amazing.
I think I read it's only actually taking them a couple of hours, so it's even more impressive that they can do that big of a change in that short of a time.
I agree. I wish that they would do that more with some of the other holiday overlays, so you wouldn't necessarily have to have it all day long. So if you visit, like, let's say, if you have Space Mountain Ghost Galaxy, where during the day, you can just ride Space Mountain, but at night, it's Space Mountain Ghost Galaxy. Then you get the best of both worlds.
Well, and then that'd be nice, because I know a few years back, I was there with my 4-year-old and 8-year-old nieces, and the 4-year-old very much wanted to go on Space Mountain, but was absolutely terrified of the big flaming ghost that was chasing us throughout the entire ride. I know she would have enjoyed it if it would have been just the normal Space Mountain that we have all loved, but that was a little bit too much for her, and she did not want anything to do with that ride afterwards.
I can see that.
Buena Vista Street has also gained a lot of new Halloween decorations. The first one that you are likely to notice is at the entrance to the park, where Oogie Boogie is displayed along with arms that transition into bats. It looks okay during the day, but is really stunning at night. Once you enter the park, the street is decorated with Art Deco bats and purple banners. Near the end of the street, where the Christmas tree is located each year, is the Headless Horseman statue. At night, the eyes light up and the horse breathes smoke. This is sure to become a yearly tradition.
It looks pretty cool. I know, I don't think you've seen the animated, or not the animated, but the video version of it, but it's like literally breathes smoke and looks very imposing. It's pretty cool.
I have seen some reviews from parents being a little concerned that it might be a little bit too scary for the young ones, but considering this is Disney and they don't really go anywhere too dark, I think this is kind of fitting.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine. Well, at night, the area is covered in purple Christmas-like lights and really does a great job of Halloween placemaking in this area. Carthay Circle Theaters, adorned with more purple banners and bats, appear to be flying out of the tower. At night, this looks really spectacular when it's lit up in a ghostly green. The area also plays creepy noises with organ music in the background for the area to complete the immersion. I also hear that Oogie Boogie comes out to do a lighting ceremony at night for this whole area, which I think is pretty cool. Anytime they do any type of lighting ceremony or something like that, I'm on board for it. However, I usually do miss these type of things.
Oogie Boogie seems to be all over the parks this year. He's kind of featured quite prominently, from very popular popcorn buckets to, well, just every decoration, it seems, almost. He's all over the place.
It's true. Now, you were telling me something earlier about the popcorn buckets. What was that?
Yes, the wildly sought after Oogie Boogie popcorn buckets that I believe now have sold out. They were selling them at the park for $15. We just looked it up and we're seeing that they are going for $100 right now on eBay.
That kind of ruins it, I think, for a lot of people. I you know, I'm pretty sure Disney has limitations and stuff for how many of these things you can purchase, but it really kind of ruins it for people, I think, when they buy these things and just to resell them on eBay.
Yeah, that takes away, to me, that takes away the magic of the items. But I did see that people were waiting for hours in line to get these popcorn buckets, so they must be pretty cool.
Yeah, I you know, it's really interesting. Sometimes you look at the stuff that Disney comes out with and you look at an item and who knows if it's going to be popular or not, and sometimes you get these crazy items like this that are, you wait hours for, and sometimes you get releases that nobody cares about, ends up at the Disney warehouse for really cheap later.
The Paradise Garden Grill is promoting the new Pixar film Coco. The film is about visiting the land of the dead, so it's a perfect fit with the Halloween theme. The area includes face painting and tree decorating. There's also a promotional area called The World of Coco that previews some parts of the movie and shows off some artwork. There are some special food options in this area as well. I think that this is kind of a neat concept that they're doing. Yes, they always have promos of the upcoming movies in the park, but this one's kind of neat because it talks about the Day of the Dead, and in that World of Coco area, they do explain kind of the history and the culture that goes along with the Day of the Dead. So I think that's cool that they're letting younger generations, you know, learn about the different cultures.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Southern California and California in general has a large Hispanic population, so it's great to learn that. And then there's a bunch of people, you know, who are not Hispanic who I'm sure can learn a lot from this. And it adds a nice compliment to the area by Rancho Zacalo in Disneyland. So now you can go see it in either park.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have something really big for you.
Yeah, the birds stand still and the tiki room flies away. Mon ami, quit talking while I'm interrupting. Ladies and gentlemen, now we present direct from the islands a musical luau.
Well, since this is our first episode in this new format, we have a new co-host now, I thought it'd be a good place to start with discussion is our history with Disneyland. Teresa, since you're new here, why don't you go first?
Well, Tag and I have known each other now for about 8 years and somehow have never actually visited Disneyland together, something that we're hoping to change very soon.
Hopefully.
But I have been to Disneyland now three times and to Disney World twice. I do remember my first trip to Disneyland quite vividly because I was quite terrified of the Haunted Mansion and was that child in the queue line that was creating the scene, and now it happens to be one of my favorite rides and one that I try to go on at least once, if not multiple times, the first day that I'm in the park.
Yeah, I agree with the Haunted Mansion. I know that when I've been there with family previously, before you had to get a fast pass for Fantasmic, I remember my family going and sitting down to get good seats for Fantasmic and running over to Haunted Mansion and literally getting in the line, going through the attraction, coming out, getting right back in line, because you could, you know, sometimes you can get lucky like that, especially around Fantasmic time. Mm-hmm. Previously. Now, I first went to Disneyland back in 1989 when I was 8, and my mom took my brother and myself there, and this was around the time that Splash Mountain opened. And I remember one of the most traumatic times, since we're talking about traumatic attractions. I wore glasses at the time, and Splash Mountain was the new attraction at the time, so we went on it, and I didn't know what to think about it. It was a nice dark ride, but it also had like a flume aspect to it. And I think at that time I had never been on a flume ride, so I didn't know really what to expect. We got towards the end, towards the drop. Again, I wore glasses. My mom did not want me to lose them, so I had to take them off and hand them to her. So I went down the nice 45-foot drop blind, and it scarred me. And I didn't go on it again for probably another 11, 12 years until I went on it with Beth. And we finally got ourselves to go on it. We were both afraid. And we went on it probably three or four times right after another. Again, getting off the attraction, getting right back in line, going on it, going on it. Eventually, Beth was done for the evening, and we stopped going on it. We were pretty wet, too, and this was probably like 11 o'clock at night when the park closed at, you know, midnight or 1 o'clock. But I love Disneyland. I love learning about it and reading about it and all of the stuff they've been doing. In fact, one of the things that I think is really fascinating is if you read about the history of Disneyland, we've always thought that Disneyland is as magical and cool and as detailed as it is now. And it's not that it wasn't at one other time. It was just less than it is now. And it's hard to think about, you know, Fantasyland, for instance. You know, back in the 50s when it opened, it was very sparse and very carnival-like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's really interesting for the 50s. But now I think we would, if Disneyland were open today the way it was in the 50s, I think it would be a lot less spectacular than it is now. But Disney being Disney was great, and they have continued to innovate and come up with new experiences. And now I think Disneyland, even including other parks around the world that Disney owns, I think is one of the most immersive themed parks anywhere in the world. So other than, I've never been there, but I heard that Tokyo DisneySea is the best Disney park anywhere in the world, and the jury is out on that until I go see it sometime. So maybe Teresa and I don't go to Disneyland the first time together. Maybe we go to Tokyo Disneyland together.
I'm for it.
Right. Yeah, it's on my bucket list to hit every park around the world. I've gone to Disney World. I've gone to Disneyland. I've gone to Disneyland Paris, which has the most... I love Disneyland. I love the Disneyland Castle. But the Disneyland Paris Castle is the most beautiful Disneyland Castle ever constructed.
Well, they do have real castles over there, so they had to up their game a bit.
Yeah. Wasn't it Eddie Izzard who was doing like a comedy bit?
Yes, I believe it was.
Yeah, and he's doing the comedy bit. And he's like, oh, they've actually got them over here. Yeah. So we've got to make something a little more spectacular.
Make it better.
Right. Yeah, gotta make it better. So you know, I had written down that Teresa and I had been friends for about 10 years, but actually her math is a little more accurate, and it is interesting. You know, we've been friends for so long, and we both love Disney, and we both always talk about Disney, but we've never actually gone to Disney together, and that's going to be an interesting sight. I pray for our loved ones who go with us.
Yes, I'm worried about our significant others as well.
Yes, they will have to go hang out together just to feel normal and not oozing Disney-ness everywhere. So I'm glad that I have a friend like you, Teresa, that loves Disneyland as much as I do and can talk about it weekly with everybody. And hopefully all of you will enjoy the stories and excitement that we bring to the podcast as we start doing it now. Anything else? No? All right. Well, that's all we have for you this week. This new show is going to be entirely supported by listeners and not advertisements. If you find a value in the news, information, and discussion that we bring to you each week, please consider supporting us by going to our website at disneylandweekly.com/support to find out how.
You can also like us on Facebook by searching for Disneyland Weekly, follow us on Twitter at DL Weekly, or send us an email at feedback@disneylandweekly.com.
Well, we'll be back next week with more Disneyland news information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.